Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Blue Jackets put a halt to a 4-game slide last night in New Jersey. CBJ tacked up 34 penalty minutes en route to a 5-3 win over the Devils. Dmitry Voronkov had 10 of those in a pair of fights that powered the CBJ to the victory. Adam Fantilli also scrapped last night. Elvis Merzlikins had 30 saves in the win. Jackets are back on home ice Thursday hosting the Red Wings. In the NFL last night, the Patriots beat the Giants 33-15. New England's 11-2 on the season. That's good for best record in the league. In college football, Ohio State heads to Indianapolis this weekend for the Big Ten Championship. Buckeyes will battle 12-0 Indiana Saturday night at 8 p.m. Hear from Ryan Day at noon today. We'll carry his weekly press conference as soon as he hits the podium. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Enjoy rates lower than the national average, plus a special rate on balance transfers with a Visa Platinum or Visa with Rewards credit card. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tiberi here.
Oh, Reese came in and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me.
Oh,
I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a snowy Tuesday edition. Good grief. Welcome to Winter Kids. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Loaded up. Scott Docterman going to join us at 11:30. We'll blitz the NFL at 11 o'clock. 10 o'clock, we hit you with the real truth. 10:30, Uncle Dom stops by. And, of course, we'll keep you updated on all the snow stuff that's been going on all morning long. The update is it snowed. It snowed a lot. And lots of schools are closed. And so we'll get into all of that as it goes along as well. I did want to start with Julian saying. I think probably the first time I heard a whisper about how special he was very likely from Tim May, I do believe. I do believe that he heard some whispers about how special he was at throwing the football. And then last year when we were out there when he was a true freshman and all eyes were on Will Howard and Devin Brown. Remember, we had that quarterback competition and all eyes were on those two guys. And you could not help but watch and notice the way that the ball came off of the hand of the kid wearing number 10. It just was abundantly clear. It just was the easiest, most natural rhythm throw that you'd seen, but he was a true freshman and who knows. And then you started poking around a little bit and you start asking people who know. And kind of the one thing that I kept getting back was that he's Bryce Young. Well, Bryce Young was pretty dang good at Alabama and won the Heisman at Alabama and was the number one pick in the draft and is now having a pretty good season at Carolina now that he's got his feet under him a little bit. Had a nice win against the Rams last week, but there's one caveat to that. Julian Sain's quite a bit bigger than Bryce Young. He's about 25 pounds heavier and he's about 2 inches taller, maybe three. So there's a little bit of physicality that he has that Bryce doesn't. I do think there is one other thing that is comparable between the two, other than they're both Southern California kids. They both look younger than they are. Julian could easily pass for a 16-year-old right now. Like if they were doing central casting for one of those teen sitcoms that used to air all the time, and I think probably still do on Netflix or Disney, he would be right out of central casting for that. Like you're recasting Laguna Beach, put that kid in it, and away we go. And I think that the look of him sometimes has people maybe not take him as seriously as they should, but rest assured, he is a baby-faced assassin. You go back to July and you think about the conversations we had about what was a realistic expectation about what he would do this year. And the number we had on him was about 2,800 to 3,000 passing yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks. That's kind of what we were thinking would be a massive season for him. With a game to go, he's 3,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He has a completion percentage of 79%. One of the things that I do with the Heisman is I want to know how you did against the 5 toughest opponents you played. The thinking being that while all schedules aren't created equal, every team in the country will at least play 5 games that the talent is relatively close to equating. At Ohio State, it's a little bit tougher, right, to find those. It's tough to find those for Fernando Mendoza. I mean, it's hard. There aren't a whole lot of talent equate games out there. Diego Pavi is another guy who's a front runner. He certainly has played in a lot of talent equates games. I would say the same of Jeremiah Love, although the 2 most talent equate games for him happened weeks 1 and week 2, relatively quiet in that. And so I look for those games. How did you do in the 5 talent equates games? Well, so this is what Julian did with a big one that's coming on Saturday. And that's the reason we're talking about all of this. Against Texas, 13-20, 126 and a touchdown. Against Washington, 22-28, 208 and 2 touchdowns. Against Illinois, 19-27, 166 and 2 scores. Against Penn State, 20-23, 316, 4 scores. And against Michigan on Saturday, 19-26, 223, 3 touchdowns in the pick. In the talent equate games, or close to talent equate games as we can find, Julian Sain is completing 75% of his passes. He's averaging a game of 19-25. He's got 12 touchdowns and a pick in those games. All of this is being discussed this week because the realization is, and it does feel like that's kind of where we're heading, that Saturday is a winner-take-the-stiff-arm-trophy game. And maybe that's the biggest thing at stake. It might very well be. I'm not sure that if you ask Kurt Cignetti or you ask Ryan Day, and I know that they both want to win a Big Ten championship, but if you said, you can be the 1 seed, you can be the 2 seed, let's just skip this thing, they both might take it, and I wouldn't blame them. I know for a fact Kirby would take it. I know for a fact Kalen DeBoer would take it in the SEC. Just move us on along to the college football playoff. But for Mendoza and Sain, it does feel like the stiff arm trophy is on the line. Pavia does not have a game this week. Jeremiah Love does not have a game this week. Jeremiah Smith, who's a long shot now, he had the one big play against Michigan, but I think he would need now probably like a 10 for 220, 3 scores type thing against Indiana to kind of serve notice. I don't think he's out of it by any stretch, but I think it's a much more uphill road because he missed the game the week before and because there wasn't this huge statistical accumulation in the game. He did have the touchdown on 4th and 5, which is unbelievable. Which brings us to the Heisman in Ohio State. Ohio State last won the Heisman in 2006. Troy Smith won it. He won it and sealed it by one of the biggest margins ever because of how he played in the game of the century that everybody was watching. He had the moments. He had the bowl. He had all of that stuff when he was introduced. Then he played great, and Ohio State won the game, and he won it. The guy who finished 2nd that year was Darren McFadden. He had one more data point. He had the SEC title game against Florida, a game that they lost that year to Urban Meyer and those cats. And he was okay in the SEC title game, but there wasn't a possibility for him to overtake Troy based on that. So it's been roughly 20 years since Ohio State has had a Heisman Trophy winner. The funny thing about it is, it's 20 years between Troy and potentially a winner this year. It was 10 years between Troy and Eddie. It was 20 years between Eddie and Arch. Arch, of course, winning it twice. It was 20 years between Arch and Hop Cassidy. So there's this 10-20-10 thing that's working in the favor as well. But whatever your expectations were for this kid, he has far exceeded them in everyone's mind, and now is in a position where this Heisman is on the line on Saturday. But honestly, fellas, it might be the biggest thing of consequence that is on the line Saturday.
Yeah, this will be one of the games that you haven't had in a couple of weeks where you know everybody's going to be watching because it's 8 o'clock on Saturday night. You've got number 1, number 2, both teams undefeated, records unblemished.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks that have had Heisman moments throughout the season, certainly Mendoza at Oregon. Mm-hmm. At Penn State, Julian has just been the steadiest college football player in the country. And so you're going to have more eyeballs than you've had because, you know, Rutgers, UCLA, Purdue, those are bottom line games. And, you know, even in the game against Michigan, you still had a lot of other things that were taking the attention of national college football. You had what was Vanderbilt at Tennessee. I mean, you still had some games in rivalry weekend. It ain't going to be the case Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think a lot of juice is going to be there for both Mendoza and for Julian Sane, and maybe even for Jeremiah Smith. Because while his odds are still plus 20,000, there's opportunity for him to be second, third on voters' ballots, which would accumulate him points, which could get him to New York City. Like, this could very much be a situation where you have four Heisman finalists up on that stage.
And with Julian, I feel like all year long, and this has been this Buckeyes team too, there's been a governor on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've been planning and wanting to get to the points they're at now. Now they're in the Big Ten championship game, and then the playoff starts. And not that there's been bad weather for Ohio State this year, because the weather has actually been pretty darn good on Saturdays, Fridays and Saturdays, and for the football season this year in Ohio. It's all domes and probably the Rose Bowl from here on out, and you don't have to worry about staying healthy for the long season. You don't have to worry about there's 10 more games. There's 8 more games. Now I think is the time that Ohio State, and we saw it last year in the college football playoff, I think this is the time that Ohio State finally hits the freeway and goes.
Yeah.
And this is what Julian Sane is built for. Julian Sane, there was a quarterback controversy, and we talked often, what kind of offense do you want to be? Because you're going to be one style of offense with Lincoln Keenholz. You're going to be another style of offense with Julian Sane. This team was built for the style of offense that suits Julian Sane. He wins the job. I'm guessing it really wasn't particularly close, even though we were told, because this offense fits Julian Sane. And I feel like it's time to let this offense and Julian Sane go.
I think you nailed it. I think that the Ohio State in the makeup of the roster was, we're going to be talented enough to win most of these games that we play in the regular season. The expectation is to win all. But what we're building this for is domes and perfect weather, because that is the path to the national championship. And I think you're right. I think there's something else you mentioned there, Bake, that's leading us to be in this Heisman spot that we're in, where we're all kind of looking around going, who's going to win this thing? We'll get to that. And, of course, snow emergency, our first of the year coming up next. We're off and running on a Tuesday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Talk. Just two guys who aren't afraid to say what needs to be said.
And that's how she wrote.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Now streaming mornings on YouTube and 10TV Plus. Attack and dominate.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Skies are mostly cloudy for us as we go in the rest of the day today, but it will be chilly with temperatures only getting up into the low 30s. And then for tonight, a cold night ahead with mostly cloudy skies and lows down into the 20s. For Wednesday, a mix of sun and clouds and daytime highs, well, they're going to struggle to get out of the mid to low 30s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Boy, we're loaded up here, kids. We're doing Big Ten Championship Saturday as only we can. For the first time since 2020, Buckeyes are back in the Big Ten title game, and The Fan has you covered. 11 hours of pregame coverage this Saturday. My God, it's unbelievable. From 9 to noon, Fan Sports Saturday with Timmy and Tyvus. Noon to 2:30, the Fan Sports Saturday with Reese and Tito. Sorry, Reese, that you have to do that with Tito. 2:30 to 4:30, KeyBank Fan Pregame Show with Maddie, DeVere, and Dane. And then 4:30, the Central Ohio Toyota Dealers Fan Tailgate Show, AR, Tim, and Bids. And then 6:30, the Network Pregame Show. And then away we go. 11 hours, one goal, get you ready for the Buckeyes in the Big Ten title game. It's only on the home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Bo, I was with Tim May last night for a little bit, and I did not realize this. He drove to Ann Arbor on Friday night to pick up his credential and get all of his stuff. Then he came back here for the tailgate show again, and then drove to Ann Arbor after back to Ann Arbor after the tailgate show.
Come again?
Yeah.
He drove to Ann Arbor to pick up his credential?
On Friday night.
Why couldn't he just, why wouldn't they send it to him? Why couldn't he just get it, pick it? Oh, because he was going to show up in the middle of it.
Yes, and he might have even, I know he did some TV, a couple TV hits, so he might have went up there and done that as well as picking up his credential. But yeah, he's working more than he ever has.
I saw the great Clay Hall doing that too. They're retired, these two.
You got podcasts, man.
They got a great podcast.
It's a good one.
That's a lot of listeners. That is unreal to drive up there Friday and do all of that. Good Lord. We got ourselves our first little snow emergency. I don't know why this is, but I have been getting spam called all morning from a number from Santa Barbara, California, and I'm just going to read it as God telling me that that's where I need to go. That's I'm guessing it's 72 and sunny there because it's 72 and sunny there always is my hunch. I must have gotten 15 calls this morning from Santa Barbara, 305 area code. So I'm up for some wine in that part of the wine country in Southern California or something. But I'm getting a lot of spam calls this morning from Santa Barbara.
When God's calling, you better answer, Bo.
Got to go. Yeah, it's been a great run, boys. I'll see you on down the road. I can watch the Buckeyes from there. How'd you guys do this morning with the commute?
It's all right. We made it here in one piece. To everybody who leaves a loaf of snow on their car, yeah. I hope your phone dies on you today and you can't charge it for several hours, because I saw a lot of that.
That's dangerous, man.
A lot of that in Grandview.
I was okay. I actually made the decision to go the back roads in rather than the freeway, because I just figured I figured the freeways would be better, but there would be more traffic. Yep. I figured the back roads, there would be no one. And the roads, there were a couple spots where they were good, a couple spots where they weren't good. It looked like most people were pretty good with cleaning off their cars, except for, as Reese said, the top of the car. Which, once you get up to speed, that's blowing back in my face, and then I can't see. And the other one, and maybe it's just because there's rear defrost on almost all these cars, nobody cleans their back windshield.
No.
I don't get that.
An easy fix for the snow on top of the car, and I used it this morning to blow the walkways. I have like the electric blower. Not like a snow blower, like a leaf blower.
Yeah.
Like one of those. This snow is so light that it just blows right off pretty easy. Just hit the top of the car with that thing and it's done. It takes 2 seconds. And then you have a little consideration for everybody else.
Get you a broom.
You could do that too. But some people worry about scratching. You could worry about scratching the car, that type of thing. We had probably the most audacious play I've seen from a superintendent. So I got up because I'm getting old. So I went, I had to get up and go to the bathroom like 5:30 in the morning. So I had about a half hour left of sleep. So I'm like, I'll stay in. So at 5:30, we were going to school and my wife rolled over and she's like, anything? No. She goes, I think she wanted one. I don't know why she'd want to hang out with our kids any more than we had to. We just had a long weekend. So then, I go back to sleep. Alarm goes off at 6:00. And at 5:55 a.m., we got the call they were closing schools. Now, my wife doesn't work, so it's fine. So that's not a big inconvenience for us. But I cannot imagine, if you did, how you make sense of that. With you're 2 hours from work, you're no doubt already up. Your kids are probably already up if they have the early time, and you got to be there by 7:45. So they're up, you're up. And now you got to scramble and find a way. And look, I know they do the best they can and they want to make sure that they get these days in, but this was something that you could probably see coming. And so, let them know as soon as possible. Now, when I was a kid, it was, there was one radio station that broadcast all of them. There wasn't a local morning news when I was a kid. It was all national. So they would run a scroll on the bottom line, but the only way that you would know there was, it was KMON out of Shelby, Montana. They would broadcast the school closings. So we would get up in the blackness of night and sit there and just wait to hear if our school was one of them. And if it was, my God, you'd won the lottery. Now, in Montana, they get a lot of snow. So what usually would close schools is air temp. And if it was anything below 30 below zero air temp, that's usually was like the threshold for closing schools. And if memory serves, the biggest reason for that is the diesel in the buses would gel up if it got that cold. And so that was the temperature where they had to shut it down, was that. But almost anything other than that, I don't remember more than... I talked to my brother about this. I don't remember more than 10 snow days. But again, we had nobody in the school. It was very rural. You got kids waiting at buses in the city. I get it. Like, you got to, you have to have it, and you have to be safe first and foremost. But the bigger heads up parents can get, the better. I mean, that's really the jumping off point. You guys probably all had local news. You're watching Channel 10 in the morning and seeing if you're closed or not.
Yeah, we had Franklin County, and so the U was alphabetically last on the thing. So my brother and I would always just check if Columbus City Schools was off. There's a good chance Upper Arlington would, and you'd have Columbus, Dublin. You could kind of start to put it together once you got to the W's.
Yeah.
If Columbus closed, it seemed like everybody closed. Yep. There were a few big districts you always looked at. It was Columbus, Southwest District, where I went to school, Southwestern City Schools, Hilliard's, Dublin's, Upper Arlington's, things like that. But yeah, if Columbus closed, it seemed like everyone. There was always the scroll on the bottom. They had the ticker that would go by, and you would look and wait to see. I do remember, Bo, like the cold. The buses wouldn't run, so if it got too cold, you always got a day off. Ice was always a big thing, so if it was real icy. But I feel like it used to have to snow like 6 inches to get a day off of school, and that is not the case anymore. But
I think they build them in, so they automatically go longer. Like, my kids don't get out till like the first week of June, so they go longer. And they build in the snow days throughout the year. And if they don't, I think it, that if they don't take them, then they kind of lose them. So you'll see, like, in the spring in our district, like, you'll see they'll just, if it's a little bit of ice or snow, like, they'll take the snow day because they got to use them or lose them, is kind of the attitude of it. I mean, it's the greatest thing ever as a kid. A true snow day, like drifts of fluffy snow. I get to go play in it.
Pack
a
little snow on the ground. Yeah.
Oh, come on, dude. Are you kidding me? Let's go. We would, and I remember the board games more than anything. I mean, it was, that was when the farming game and Monopoly came out, was on a snow day Saturday. Those were the best, or on a snow day. We called them that, snow day Saturdays, but on a snow day school day, that was it, man. You get the board games out, you build a snow fort, and then you get the board games out if you had enough. If you have enough snow for the snow fort, those are the best activities on that. We are loaded up. This week is loaded up. The Ryan Day press conference is today at noon. Buckeye Roundtable today at 6 o'clock. Ryan's going to join around 6:35. Then, of course, we're back to our normal schedule with Ryan Day Show on Thursday. And then, as I mentioned, the Big Ten Championship game. Buckeyes start as a 5.5-point favorite against Indiana in the game on Saturday. I'm like you, Bake. I like that number quite a bit. You did mention the how the Buckeyes have kind of cruised this year. And I think that that is something that's happened throughout college football. I think that's why we don't have these massive statistical accumulations out of individual players so far, because I think coaches are coaching it differently. I think they're coaching to get to the playoff and to be at your best in December and January. And they should be. That's where the money is made. That's where the hardware is earned. And I think in part because of that, you don't have 4,000-yard passers. You don't have 1,500-yard receivers. You don't have 1,500-yard rushers with 22 touchdowns. You just don't have these crazy statistical accumulations this year, because I think a lot of teams, the good ones, the great ones, and that's usually where Heisman Trophy winners come from, they haven't had to be. Really, the only player who's had to is probably Pavia, as they've tried to stay alive over the last month and try to put their best foot forward. Another kid who's really had a really good November and had a great game in the Iron Bowl is Ty Simpson. So those are some of the guys you're going to have to pay attention to. So you've got Sain and Mendoza in our game. You've got Simpson in the other game. And then that's kind of it in terms of the Heisman for this weekend. I think a lot of it has to do with these teams are kind of cruising. they're kind of cruising. Are we good enough? Let's get to the playoff and be at our best then. And I think you see it statistically when you look at what's been accomplished. For the Buckeyes, they'll set their sights on the Hoosiers. You're going to hear from Ryan Day on what to expect on Saturday. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Jew?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a Tuesday edition of the program. Buckeyes setting their sights on the Hoosiers Saturday in Indianapolis. We talked about this in regard to the Heisman just a couple of moments ago. The thing that Ohio State has, I think, really done a masterclass of all season long is find the happy medium between winning games and being healthy. I think you saw that with 4-17 as they took November to get right. And boy, were they right for the game. And the feeling is they're going to be right for this run now. Ryan Day was asked about that balance earlier. Let's have a listen.
I've said before that I think it's something that we need to consider, just how it plays into the playoffs and what it means. I think so. But I think important for us right now is, like, we want to be the one seed going in to the playoffs, and that's what we're fighting for. So I do hear what you're saying, but I think it's also important to be the one seed. And so, you know, here we are, and that's what we're going to be playing for here. And that's the focus. But I do think it's important for us to be thinking about how this game does affect the playoffs and making sure that, you know, it's in alignment and it makes sense, because I think it's a big deal. And I think winning your conference is a big deal. You know, you think about in other, like, you know, in the, you know, basketball tournament, you know, it's an automatic qualifier, which was great, but it you know, it should mean something. And I think it does. But I do think, you know, if, you know, it's going to stay the way it is at 12, or if it's going to expand, we just need to make sure that it's all in alignment. And then, you know, is there a situation where, you know, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in the conference also play during this weekend? I know that's something that has been thrown out before that I think makes sense. You know, it's one more game for us to play. When you think about last year, we didn't play in this game. And then went on to win the national championship. So, you know, but then, you know, if you win it, you get a bye. So there's a lot to consider, but not really focused on that right now. More focused on winning the game and being the one seed.
We went on the full adventure with
Ryan. He did not, did he?
We went on the full adventure. That was all of it.
Those damn conference.
We could do this, and then you could do this.
Play-in nonsense.
Well, what would be more intriguing this week? If you had Kentucky play Vanderbilt, Miami play, like if there was no conference championship tie-in to the, let's say there was none, that you didn't have to win your conference to make the college football playoff. Just roll with me for a second, and let's pretend that there was no affiliation whatsoever, but they still had to have the one group of five. It would be a pretty straightforward thing. And I think what you would end up doing is you would see, if you want to say the first, if you say it a 12 team, you could say what teams 12, let's see, probably teams 14, 13, 12, 11. You could even go 10, 15, 9, 16. You could have all of those play-in games this weekend. Like, is that more valuable than what you're getting? I think it's a little different up here because Indiana has never done this. I mean, they've never been in this spot. So this is completely new territory for them. And then I think for Ohio State, because you haven't done it since 2020, you want that. You know, you want that hardware. We don't have banners for this, but there's a banner hanging, and you can have the year of that you do it on there. And I think there's some value in that. I don't know if there's any value in being the one seed. Oregon was the one seed last year and had to play Ohio State. Like, a lot of times you could be dealing with an even more talented team in that game as the one seed. And I know that the seeding's a little different now that they're not giving the buys to the automatic conference champions, but, I don't know if there's value in that. I think both these teams are getting a bye no matter what. win or lose, I think they're both getting a bye. So I don't know. Would it be more valuable that way? If it was a play, if this was like play-in weekend, I told you where I sit on the calendar and fixing it, and it's real simple. I'd go to 16 teams and I'd have it start. I'd have it start this weekend. I would have had last weekend be Army Navy. I would have started the playoff this weekend. One plays 16, two plays 15, and away we go. By the way, if you did that, the 1 through 16, according to the AP, would Ohio State against Virginia. Fine, perfect. Indiana be playing Utah, Georgia, Texas, Vanderbilt, and Oregon, Texas Tech, and Miami. You'd have Oregon and BYU. Ole Miss and BYU, Texas A&M and Alabama, and Oklahoma, Notre Dame. Play it this weekend. 1-16, 2-15. Go.
It's great inventory.
Yeah. It's a lot of inventory, too.
Yeah. When you talk about those play-in games, it would clean up the ACC and it would clean up what's with the SEC. Mm-hmm. You can say, here are the bids, and you get no more. And you have to earn them in if you are on the outside looking in. If you're not in the conference championship game, you know, maybe they do an AQ for both conference championship participants. But just this more feels like it's coming to a head. And I know that, you know, college football is so copycat that if this works out for Ohio State, how many more teams with national championship aspirations go the exact same way the Buckeyes have in terms of plays, huddling up, not going up tempo and trying to sit on the football as much as humanly possible in games in the regular season, because you don't actually view those games as nearly as important as when they start on December 1st or November 29th.
I thought what we've been doing since August were our play-in games. I mean, what do we need more play-in games to get into the playoff?
For the play-in.
I'm with you, but the ship is out to sea, brother. Like, we got to jump on this thing. We got to get on a little dinghy and catch up, because there's no going back. But we're not going back. So we have to find a way to make this. We have to retrofit this to what we want.
Well, and we've already heard Tony Petitti said, well, what if our three loses? They still deserve to get in this thing. And it's just, super. I don't even know when it's going to stop, and it never is going to stop, because they're just going to have more games and more money and more TV contracts. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting with Ohio State, though. I've always heard growing up in my whole life of football, it was always the team that wasn't as good, that wasn't as talented, was the team that wanted to muck it up and slow the game down and keep it to as little plays as possible. This is the most talented team in the country. And they're winning games like that. That's the way they want to play. I have a feeling Ohio State could win games playing 100 plays, 120 plays. But they're not. Yeah. They just want to make sure they can be healthy and have all of their guys for the long run.
They've played the long game. It's a long con.
Yeah.
And they've been able to do it for two reasons. Number one, they have the most talent. Number two, and this is most important, they have a defense that gives up 7 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to score 40. Like, they figured that out pretty quickly. Oh, we can get to 28 and we're good. Cruise City. Let's do it. Let's stay healthy. We're on to bigger things, right? We're bigger fish to fry out there. And I think it has worked. Now, I don't know if you can do it. And I think that, like, what's happened with Texas this year, I think that's going to call into question, like, the non-conference scheduling stuff if Texas is let out. And I do think Texas will be left out. I see no scenario how they get in. I was having this conversation with a buddy yesterday. He's like, well, wait a second. They're easily one of the best 12 teams. I said, well, I don't know if they're easily one of the best 12 teams. I watched them struggle at Mississippi, and I watched them struggle at Mississippi State. I watched them struggle against Kentucky.
Beat Florida.
Absolutely. Absolutely beat Florida. But their point is real. If they don't play Ohio State and instead they play Toledo, they're in, because they beat Vanderbilt. So they've got the metric. They beat Texas A&M. They would have data points that are better than some of the teams ahead of them. Like, you can't consider Vanderbilt without considering them. They won head to head. Those games have to matter. So this is why the adults in the room really did the Jesus takes the wheel, but I don't believe in Jesus thing. They just opened the floodgates on all of this, and there's no real leadership in the sport that can fix any of it, because Petitti and Sankey don't get along. And, I mean, we thought they did, but they don't see this thing eye to eye. The Big Ten's talking. I mean, Ryan Day's doing a Big Ten championship game teleconference, and he's talking about conference play-in games because Tony Petitti's trying to find money. Greg Sankey's not talking about that. He's not talking about play-in games.
And I think there is going to be a little more even ground with that moving forward, as the Big Ten and the SEC have both said 9 conference games and 1 power school out of conference, non-conference game. So I think that scheduling stuff is going to work itself out a little. Now, you can't help who's in your conference and whatnot in those games. Well, yeah, that way, but
I'm ready to throw
I don't think it's happening. Bo, back to the point about, and we talked about this a lot last year, the foresight of Ryan Day and Chip Kelly and his staff last season to be like, hey, this is like an NFL model. We need to make sure we're ready for a 16-game season. And that's all you heard them say last year in August in camp, was they talked about a 16-game season. Other than just acquiring talent and making this roster the roster that it is, that might be the most impressive thing that Ryan Day and his staff has done, is to have the foresight to realize the long game in these seasons and play the way they have the last 2 years.
Think about the NFL experience on their staff the last couple of years. Chip, Patricia now, Hartline, Threes. Think about the guy just off the top. I mean, there's more, but just think about those guys have, they've done the NFL battles. They know that what it really, I mean, think about Patricia, the Patriots, notorious for this. Wake me up in at Halloween. Notorious slow starters. How good are we going to be at Halloween? That's what they were fighting for. And that's what this Buckeye team has been built for, is for this stretch run. And they're built for all of it. And it all starts on Saturday, at least for one more year and probably for a couple more years. We had a lot of fists thrown on the ice and also on the football field. Quite a bit for the old boys in Union Blue. We will get to that, and we'll get to the Monday Nighter coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Boney.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Trump says he and Jenny went together like peas and carrots.
I got it. Hey.
Well, the Buckeyes are the number one team in the country, and The Fan is the number one sports station in the country. Peas and carrots, baby. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan.
Skylines.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
After putting up with Dom Tabari for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
So yesterday, I'm on my way home from basketball practice. I don't know, probably around 8:30, something like that. And Bake, you text, are you watching this Jackets game? And the answer to that was I was not. I was coaching, had practice for the Fours and the Sixes, so I was not able to watch. And then Reese chimed in and said, and Bake was talking about fists being thrown. Reese said fists are being thrown in both. So by the time I got home, I saw the Jackson Dart replay of him getting bombed on the sidelines in their game. Totally legal hit. Thankfully, they didn't call it illegal. That's on him to get out of bounds. And the Patriots absolutely drilled the Giants last night. And I needed that one. And Reese, you got to 500 with it. But then the other one was the Jackets. And my God, 74 total penalty minutes, 34 for us, 40 for them. Voronkov had 10 on his own. Bake, you took it in. I guess we're trying to send messages, huh?
Well, the crazy thing is I was on my way home, too, when the first fight happened with Voronkov and Smith. So I heard the Bob McElligott call. So I saw that after the fact. And I think the Devils got mad at what happened with Voronkov and Brendan Dillon. But Brendan Dillon took a shot at Fantilli, and Voronkov came in from behind and grabbed him, and he didn't like it. And Smith, with his glove on, threw the first punch, and he kind of threw a quick jab and hit Voronkov, and Voronkov didn't like that. And he dropped his glove and got the grab quick and just yanked Smith down. And when he did, Smith bent at the waist. And just two uppercuts, pop, pop, that fight was over.
Yeah, Voronkov had two of the best hockey uppercuts I've ever seen. and they landed clean on him, and to the point where he had to go out, came back on the bench in the second period. It was interesting to hear John Davidson on the call, because he had mentioned, he's like, I didn't think he'd come back out there. But then the player Voronkov uppercut was not out there on the ice in the third period. And then Fantilli's fighting people. And I think that was one of the first times he'd scrapped.
It's his first ever in the NHL. And I think he said he only had one in juniors.
And I think it goes to the point of the Devils were trying to punk the Blue Jackets.
Mm-hmm.
And the Blue Jackets finally said enough.
And I think the Fantilli one is the thing here, because you have heard me talk all along that the Jackets need a jerk, and they just can't have a jerk on the third or fourth line. They need a top line jerk. They've never had one of those. They've never had a Brad Marchand. They've never had a Ryan Getzlaff type. And you do not want Adam Fantilli dropping the gloves every game. You don't want him dropping the gloves as much as Matthew Olivier. But Fantilli being someone that can play with that physical edge and not put up with stuff when stuff happens. Like, they were going after Zach Werenski. Fantilli was coming in to stick up for Z, and then he ends up dropping the gloves. And you've seen Nathan MacKinnon do it. You've seen Sidney Crosby do it.
Mm-hmm.
Ovechkin's done it. Not much, but he's done it. I think that last night could be the next evolution into the Adam Fantilli that can help lead the Jackets to where they want to go.
And you didn't have to, you had to win that game based off everything that had happened in the second period with all the penalty minutes that were assigned because of all the fights. And then you scored three goals in the third period. So this wasn't another, hold on to your butts, kids. This was a Jackets were the more physical team in the second and then played like the better team in the third. And that was as total team of a victory, or a total team victory, as there's been this season. And I think finally the CBJ just got sick of everything that had gone on. And, you heard so much from Jody and from Dean and even JD in the broadcast talking about how tight-knit this group was. And finally, it all showed on the ice last night. And Elvis played out of his mind, too.
And you did that.
I'll just say this. Go ahead, Baker.
I was just going to say, you did that without Olivier, Gudbranson, who are definitely your tough guys. And you did it without Jenner, who's one of your more physical players.
Yeah, here's the Kent Johnson thing is a problem. It's a problem. Like, if you are if this team is to be, and remember, we at the beginning of the year we said go fight for the eight, and Jody was talking about being a top seed, one of the top seeds in the East. You can't have him 9 minutes of ice time in the struggles, and it's something that I don't know that anybody saw coming. Did they, Bake? I mean, you would follow it closer than me. Did people see this coming? Like, what is he? He needs to be a franchise cornerstone.
I think there are some people who saw it coming. Maybe not around here, but I think there might be some in hockey worlds that thought that. I think most people thought a next step was coming with him because he's uber skilled.
Mm-hmm.
He's got as much skill as anyone in the league. But there have always been a little bit of concerns about his compete and his skating. And so some people, I think, out there may have saw that. Nobody around here, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's got two goals. He's got 5 points on the year.
And he made a great play last night on, I believe it was it the Werenski goal? Did Werenski have a goal? Or no, maybe the Matej. I don't know. I can't remember, but I think it was their first goal. He did make a nice play that helped spring that. He didn't get a point on that, but he did make a nice play that led to that rush up ice.
He's still a young kid. I mean, he's 23, but he's in his fifth year in the league. I mean, 4 years ago, he's 16 goals, 24 assists. Last year, he's 24 and 33 in 68 games. Like, I mean, if you're going to be special, then you need those special talents to come along. And it feels like there's a disconnect there clearly between him and the staff, because it's not going the way it should.
It could be something.
And then you got the Chinnikov thing out there too.
Yeah. That's a major issue.
Another 9 minutes for him as he's out there.
It could be something where the floodgates open and he goes on a tear here and gets a lot of points. Like, we were talking about Monahan, and all of a sudden he's scoring goals like crazy the last few. So I don't know.
The ice time is what I always look like. The goals, the assists, they come and go, but what's your compete level and what's the ice time you're getting? The New England Patriots are 11-2 with Mike Vrabel in year one. They are AR. I was listening to AR yesterday. He had a really interesting point that he brought up about how it is 40 years since the 85 Bears. Apparently, there's a Netflix special on the 85 Bears that I'm going to need to see. But it is 40 years since the since that Super Bowl of the 85 Bears. And of course, who did they beat? The New England Patriots. If the NFL playoffs started right now, the one seed in each is Chicago and New England. 40 years later are the 2-1 seeds, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We'll hit the real truth coming up next. Second hour, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. Number one, Ohio State's a 4.5-point favorite in Saturday's Big Ten Championship. It's the first time since 2020 for the Buckeyes in Indianapolis. 12-0 Ohio State will play 12-0 Indiana. It'll be an 8 p.m. kick at Lucas Oil Stadium. OSU's Ryan Day will hold his weekly press conference at noon today. We'll carry those comments live on The Fan. Coach Day will also join a special Tuesday edition of Buckeye Roundtable tonight at 6:35. The second to last set of playoff rankings are going to be out tonight at 7. The committee will also unveil the CFP bracket projection. That's tonight before the final bracket comes out on Sunday. In the NFL, the Patriots are 11-2 after a 33-15 win over the Giants last night. And in the NHL, the Blue Jackets beat the Devils 5-3 in New Jersey. That win halts a four-game slide. CBJ are back at Nationwide Thursday hosting Detroit. This update sponsored by Green & Sons, family-owned and operated for over 45 years. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville in Raymond.
If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a Tuesday edition. Uncle Dami coming up in 30 minutes. Time now for a little bit of that real truth. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Cellar. Over 76 years of experience and guaranteed lowest prices on Sawmill Road or DiamondCellar.com.
Both Ohio State and Indiana will receive first-round byes in the college football playoff. Is that the real truth?
So winner is obviously automatic and is the one seed. So the case for the loser to get, and I do think this is the real truth, but the case against the loser doing it, it's the only way is it almost if it's Ohio State. Because Indiana, let's just go off the AP poll now, which has Oregon ranked fourth. You can't seed Indiana below Oregon. They beat them in Eugene. So there's a cap kind of on that. So the scenario where a data point would be accrued and someone would be able to jump into that top four. Georgia, obviously, with a win against Alabama. And I do think the winner of Alabama, Georgia, no matter who it is going to be bye. So if Bama beats Georgia, even with two losses, they'll have a bye. So I think that's a bye. The Big Ten champion's a bye. Texas Tech's a bye. If they beat BYU, then I think they're a bye. So that's three. But then the fourth one, it has to be a Big Ten team. And I think it's Indiana. Even if Ohio State buries them, which I'm not certain they're going to be able to do, I'd bury them to me would be like three scores or more. So even if it's three scores or more, I still think Indiana's the four. They still have the data point of winning at Eugene. So if Texas Tech wins big and Georgia wins big, Ohio State's the one, Georgia's the two, Texas Tech's the three, and Indiana's the four. So, I think it's the real truth. I think they're both getting byes almost regardless.
I think it's probably the real truth. And, Bo, I understand what you're saying. I still think there's a little Indiana bias out there that they're just not maybe what they are. And I wonder if they go into this and Ohio State beats them, say, by 3 scores, if people are going to be like, well, the SEC teams are just better, and they're going to jump those SEC teams over them. Or if Texas Tech dominates BYU, Texas Tech would jump over them. And I just feel like there's still a little bit of that inherent bias in there.
Well, play it out, though. Like, which ones? Like, they right now, Oregon is ahead. Oregon's ahead of those SEC teams, and you can't drop Indiana below Oregon. So, like, if that's going to happen, like, you're going to have to take, I think, what they do with Texas A&M. Like, the AP punished Texas A&M behind Ole Miss. They put them all the way. They were third. Now they're seventh. So they dropped them 3 spots. So I think what's going to be interesting tonight is, where do they slot those SEC teams, and where do they slot Oregon? Because you can't have Indiana going below Oregon. They beat them in Eugene. So Oregon, in a way, is kind of the stopgap from the SEC having multiple teams with byes. And I don't, you couldn't put, Ole Miss can't have a bye. They don't have a coach. So Texas A&M's the only other one that you could argue would deserve a bye along with the SEC champion. So that's 2 at best. And I think it's kind of flimsy. So it's hard to find a roadmap for it. It really is.
Shedeur Sanders will start the rest of the season for the Cleveland Browns. Is that the real truth?
It's a tricky one. A lot of circumstances into that. I will say he got his first 2 starts. His first start is against a very incompetent Raiders team, and he played very, very well. First half in the game against San Francisco, I thought he played pretty well as well. But second half, it struggled a little bit. Some of the play calling was interesting. I think it's the intent. The one fly in this ointment, though, could very well be Deshaun Watson. That could be a fly in the ointment. If he can get healthy enough and is cleared to play, would they want to see him play this year? Is there a 2% chance that you think there's still something there? That would be interesting to me. I'm sure they'd like to see a little bit more Dylan, too, at some point. But at very least, I think Shedeur is going to get a couple more starts. I'm going to say I don't think it is the real truth. I think some other quarterback will start another game before this season is over.
Yeah, I'm with you, Bo. I don't think it is the real truth. Whether it be Shador's performance, possibly, and they say, we're going to go back to Dylan Gabriel because we know what the floor is there a little more than the upside of Shedeur, or the ultimate wild card, Deshaun Watson, as you said. And I do have a feeling Deshaun is coming back at the end of the year. And if Deshaun's back, the money says he's playing. So I think they're going to put in there and see what they got with Deshaun.
Yeah, I think they should. I mean, they need to. He's under contract for multiple more years. He's definitely going to be there next year. So, yeah, I think you'd want to see, you know, what he has. Yeah, for sure.
The Cincinnati Bengals will again be the team nobody wants to play at the end of the season. Is that the real truth?
Here's what's... Have you guys started to look at this at all for them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're at 4-8. My God, if they just would have beaten either the Jets or the Bears, think of the spot they're in. If they just beat either one of them. They should have won them both. When you start to look at Baltimore and Pittsburgh's schedules, I could see a scenario where, like, I always thought all along, like, 10-7 will win that division. It might be 9-8. It might be 8-9 might win that division. It's very possible. Now, I don't think it's going to be the real truth. I think what's going to happen is they're going to play well here the last month, and it'll be just like last year. They'll be the team that nobody wanted to play and thankful that they didn't have to play. I just don't know if you can make that up. They're 2 full games back of Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Now, they play them. They got Baltimore in 2 weeks. They got a massive game this week against Buffalo. You'll know a little bit more by the time you get through the Buffalo game this weekend. But, man, it is there. And I think what's also interesting is, do you think 9-8 will be the number that wins this division? Because I'm starting to think 9-8 might be the high end of it. These teams are flawed, all of them.
I think 9-8 definitely puts you in the mix, right? And now that means the Bengals would have to go undefeated the rest of the way.
Stretch, yeah.
But that Buffalo game sure doesn't look as daunting now as it did maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago.
No.
Ravens, you just beat them. Now maybe they'll be fired up and have a little revenge factor. But as you mentioned, Bo, they're a flawed team. At Dolphins, Cardinals, Browns, it's a pretty favorable schedule for them. If their defense plays anywhere close to what they got Thanksgiving night against Baltimore, this is definitely the real truth, because Burrow and that offense are going to be humming. You know that. Burrow, it took him a half, but then it seemed to be all systems go.
Yeah.
Gosh, if they could just quit digging themselves holes, and I know it was hard. Burrow got hurt, and he was out. But yeah, I think this is the real truth. I don't think anybody's going to want to play the Bengals down the stretch, and all of the AFC is going to be saying, "Ah, we hope they don't make it in."
Yeah, something's not right in Baltimore with Lamar. Just health-wise, you can tell he's not right. Pittsburgh is at Baltimore this weekend. That's massive. Then Pittsburgh's got the Dolphins at home, then they're at the Lions, at the Browns, and then Ravens. It could come down. They played the Ravens twice in their last five games. Those two games could decide the division. Cincinnati, if Cincinnati can win these next two and get themselves to 6-8, it's in play. It's definitely in play for them. And it just sucks because if Burrow doesn't get hurt, if all of these things, it's like 2 years in a row where they just got snake bit and cost themselves. And you can't start slow. This year they started slow and then Burrow got hurt. That's kind of the way that it all shook out there. But if you do ask yourselves this, who do you like most in that division to win it?
To me, I still think it's Pittsburgh just because of the track record. I mean, team-wise, it's probably talent-wise, it's probably the Ravens. But I guess I just believe in that Pittsburgh franchise that they're going to be able to tread water at least.
Well, they don't have losing seasons.
Yeah.
So he's going to go 9-8.
Can you ask me on December 15th? Because I think the winner of that Ravens-Bengals game in Cincinnati is your AFC North champion.
And where are you on December 2nd?
On the fence.
Yeah.
I think it's still Baltimore because of Lamar. But all three are flawed. Like Aaron Rodgers, is he going to make it?
No.
To next Tuesday?
Well, if that Bengals defense plays like they did, there's not a lot of flaws there if that defense plays like that, but they're just in such a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're probably not getting Trey back, but maybe T? No. Maybe T?
All right. So before Lamar went out with an injury, this was his completion percentage first four games before he went out. 73, 66, 77, 70. His first game back on Halloween Eve, he was 78%. This is his last four games completion percentage. Now, they're 3-1 in these games. 58.6, 56, 56.5, 53%. Something is not right. He has not run for over... Since coming back, his highest rushing total is 36 yards, guys. He ran for damn near 1,000 last year. Something is not right in Baltimore. That much is sure. One of the questions we just talked about was how the Browns will handle Shedeur Sanders here the rest of the way. Will they give him a long runway to try to prove that they don't need to draft a quarterback? We'll get into all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but oof, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Diamond Sellers.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Morning Juice is now live on YouTube. Join Bobby Carpenter and Jeff Thedoff weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
Just search 971 The Fan to catch the live experience or watch on demand.
The Fan.
You can stream the game.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
from the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Skies are mostly cloudy for us as we go in the rest of the day today, but it will be chilly with temperatures only getting up into the low 30s. And then for tonight, a cold night ahead with mostly cloudy skies and lows down into the 20s. For Wednesday, a mix of sun and clouds and daytime highs, well, they're going to struggle to get out of the mid to low 30s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight, Jazz Man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And as always, we are proudly brought to you by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Still time to get that Buckeye jewelry in for the holidays, kids. Starts at just $99 with my friends at Diamond Cellar on Sawmill and in Easton. So you have that to look forward to, which is nice, I promise you. What do you want to see? If you are ownership, if you are front office, if you're Joel Bitonio, if you're Myles Garrett, if you're diehard fans of the Cleveland Browns, what do you want to see here the next month?
A win? Maybe just
one? That's number one priority is a win?
Yeah.
Bake, what's your number one priority?
I want to see, and I don't know if it's possible with this offensive roster, but I want to see any kind of glimmer of hope for next year. And maybe that's just seeing Quinshon and Harold Fannin. And them continue to grow. But some kind of hope that, man, if they could figure out the quarterback spot, maybe
not.
There's a chance.
Harold Fannin and the Wildcat. Maybe just keep that to Quinshon.
Here's what I don't know about that, and I don't know if anybody asked it to Kevin postgame. I don't know if Shador Sanders has ever taken a quarterback sneak snap under center in a tush-push situation. If he hasn't and they were going to run it, they probably should have worked that in practice. I don't know why they didn't run the Wildcat in that spot. That had been very successful for them with Quinshon. That was a guaranteed yard every time they ran it. This is who they are. They have a championship-worthy defense. They have some bright young stars in this rookie class. Carson Schwessinger looks like a star of stars. He looks like a future all-pro linebacker. I mean, that's what he looks like. Hell, he might be an all-pro linebacker in year one. Quinshon Judkins looks like a bell cow back. Certainly, Samson feels like he's a nice change of pace back and got a little bit of a home run hitter to him. Harold Fannin Jr. is a star as well. So they have that. Here's what they don't have. They don't have certainty at quarterback. They don't have enough offensive firepower on the edges at receiver to make anybody too scared. And the combination of the two of those things is a lethal problem. You add to that, that next year, in terms of offensive linemen under contract, it's incredibly limited. It's very limited. It's DeJuan Jones, and that's it. Everybody else is going to have to be renegotiated or re-signed. So they need a complete makeover up front, and they've got to get the quarterback situation figured out, which is why, to me, what I want to see in December is Shador Sanders play real football and be put in real NFL situations consistently to see if he can handle it. I want to see if he can handle it. I want to see him throw it 35 times. Like, I'm sorry, I'm at the point now where, of course, anybody would want your team to win. But I don't think that's the most important thing for them. I don't. I think the most important thing for them is figuring out if they have to draft a quarterback. That's it. And if you feel like you've seen enough, okay, fine. You've seen enough. But to me, that's what I want to see. I want to see if they have to draft a quarterback. And if they have to bring back Deshaun Watson next year, so if he's healthy enough to play, play him. Play him. He's got the most talent of the ones that are there. Now, is he broken beyond repair? Who knows? But that's what I would want to see. To me, that's all that matters the last month here is. It's just the quarterbacks.
Bo, I'm going to ask you the question you just posed. Do you think right now they have to draft a quarterback next year?
I haven't seen enough from Sanders.
But you've seen enough from Dylan.
Yeah, I've seen five or six starts. And I think now it's hard to judge any quarterback against with what they have or what they don't have at receiver. because that doesn't make it very easy. You know, that kind of is what it is. And, you know, they chose not to address it really in the off season. And so it's coming home to roost a little bit. But I do think that I think Dylan's floor is pretty high, and I think his ceiling isn't that far from the floor. I think what they drafted him to be is a really competent long-term backup under with a salary that is easily affordable for multiple years, that when the starter goes down, you can pop him in there and away he goes. And if you have to play 10 games with him, you're going to be more than fine. And I think he showed that. I think he showed that he's more than fine. But I don't think you win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who's more than fine, and that has to be the ultimate goal. So then you apply that same logic to Shedeur Sanders. He clearly has an ability to throw the ball and a willingness to throw the ball down the field and make big, and he's a very gifted natural thrower of the football. He is. But can he do all of the things that are required at the position? And do you have time to wait for that when you have a defense that's Super Bowl worthy and in its prime right now? So what are your options here? And that's where this gets so tricky, because they have the Watson thing that's hanging over him. He's been around. He made the road trip out to Las Vegas, and he's been rehabbing, and he's still under contract. And so what do you do with him? I mean, that's the other part of it. He's been there the whole time. So, like, what do you do with him? Do you see if there's still something there? My hunch is most of the fans are probably not going to be for that. But if you're running an operation, you got a guy under contract, you got to see what he is still. So I think that's part of it. And I think the other thing that's really troubling is if you are drafting a quarterback high in this draft, which one would you draft? Who's the one? There's no Joe Burrow here that I can see. Now everybody's kind of coming back to Dante Moore. Maybe he's the guy. Boy, I'm nervous of any one-year starting quarterback situations in college football paratrooping into the NFL. There's not a great track record of that working. Usually it's multi-year starters that have the best chance. He started for 1 year at Oregon, man.
I do think the point about seeing a win is valid only because if they go 3-14 again and they lose their last, what, six, and they lose against a bad Titans team, yeah. Who's doing the picking? Who's doing the coaching? Is it brought back same as it was this past year in the offseason? I mean, I think, you know, Jimmy Haslam said at the beginning of the season that 3-14 is not acceptable again. And it looks like that's where this organization's careening towards. And so if it's a whole new operation that's got those two first round picks, how do they value? I guess you'd have to know who's running the thing come January. How do those new people feel about the whatever's left on this roster?
I think even if they made some sort of change, the issues remain the same. Even if there is a change at front office or head coach or whatever, and if something like that were to happen and you paratroop into this roster, you're saying, okay, defense is set, but we need weapons, we need offensive line, and we need a quarterback. And so I think that last one obviously is most important. So you got to figure out if you have one here. I mean, if you go back all the way to July, this is something we said in camp. Like, and at the time it was Pickett, Gabriel Sanders, and Nathan Zgura, you can hear on the Cleveland Browns radio network right here on The Fan. One of the things he talked about was Pickett's job until it's not, Gabriel's job until it's not, Sanders' job until it's not. And you wanted to see tranches from all three to see if any one of those three options could be a permanent quarterback fix. So Pickett, they jettisoned. You've seen Gabriel. You're seeing Sanders. Is Deshaun the other part of that? Do you see him the last couple of games to see what he can do? But whoever is picking it, whether they stay with where they are now, you're going to be picking wide receivers, offensive line, and then if you're not drafting a quarterback, I mean, those three, it's hard to see any scenario where those three aren't back on the roster. Gabriel and Sanders and Watson are all going to be there next year in camp. So do you do that again with four quarterbacks? Not that you can allow that. That wouldn't sway you from drafting a franchise quarterback for sure. But do you believe any of these guys in this draft are?
And I don't know about that. But if there is a guy that is or you believe in and you don't think it's Shador, I think it's pretty easy to just walk from him, right? Mm-hmm. Just let him go. He don't have to be here next year if you don't believe he's the guy.
Yeah, and I think for them, they have to decide, like, what is the what's the amount of games that lead you to that end? Because I'm sure, and now he's not a first-round pick. He's a fifth. But I think that one thing that the league learned with Darnold, Mayfield, a lesser extent Jones, even Mac Jones, look how well he played in San Francisco. Like, there's kind of like, oh, are we giving up on these guys too quick? That's another part of it. Now, Sanders, those guys are all number one picks. They're all top 15 picks. So it's not apples to apples. But it's not apples to avocados either. And they need to figure out what they have for sure in those guys before they go into this offseason. I think that's got to be job one for them. Tuesdays with DeBerry in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the fan. Bishop and Friends present Tuesdays with DeBerry.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
What was your favorite part of Saturday?
The class that Ryan Day showed. That we're not going to be like the Wolverines. You know, we're not doing that. We're not staking the flag. We're going to win with humility. We're going to act like we've been there before. That was amazing. I love that. You know,
hey, Sharon, why don't you get your team off the field?
Yeah, can you get your team off the field, Sharon?
For me?
I mean, seriously.
Get him out. We don't need a fight. I mean, just get him out of here. We got bigger things to play
for. You know, we just kicked you. We don't need to fight now. You know what? Congratulations. You guys got the first four. But you know what? We got this one. Please take your team off the field. Go up your tunnel and go away. Because I love that. That was, I mean, I just love the class. That was a classy move.
Yeah, it's funny. The boys have a hatred for Michigan that is probably reserved for folks around here that were kids of the 90s and stuff and where you didn't win much. And so, you know, they had those four. And, like, they kept wanting, like, Ohio State to fight them. They wanted us to plant flags. I'm like, no. You don't want that. You don't need anybody. We got bigger things out there. You got national titles and all these things to fight for, man. You don't want that.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that's amazing is I keep being told, and I believe that it is a damn fine school, the University of Michigan. I don't know why they can't get an engineer to redraw that tunnel so that both teams don't go down the same tunnel. Because that thing has been a mess for 50 years, and it stays a mess now. And so much of it is the fact that both teams come out of that tunnel.
Yeah, and they like that. They think that, and you know what's funny? I think I've told this story before. Back in the old days, what is now the Michigan locker room was the away team locker room. They were on other sides.
Oh, okay.
And at one point, one game, and it might have been when John Hicks tore down that sign. These guys were so fired up. Woody claimed Bo had messed with the pipes in the locker room, and he wouldn't let anybody flush a toilet. And mind you, these toilets back in the day, I'll never forget the first time I went in there and looked. There were no stalls.
No stalls.
It was just commodes.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? You know what
like
it's
the
like.
The Romans.
You know what it's like before a ball game. You know what I mean? And so I was told, you know, Woody said Bo had messed with the pipes because, you know, when they would flush them, it was something was rattling. And he said, that's it. He's not going to win. We're not going to flush the toilets. Well, you know what it's like before a ball game. Those guys were ready to kill someone. But that whole thing has been, you know, I don't know. A lot of that stuff back then seemed like it was all in good nature.
Yeah.
You know, but now last year it got pretty visceral. And that's why I'm really proud of Ryan for taking the high road. Because, you know, some of the stuff he had to listen to, third base and all that, they're not tough. You know, I put a tweet out and I said, we are witnessing as Ohio State dominate in all facets of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They are out toughening. They are out disciplining. And I mean, everything. I mean, they played with class. I saw Michigan the entire game trying to provoke guys to do stuff and whatever. And, you know, I saw Caleb Downs a couple times grab some of his teammates and say, we're not playing that way. We're not doing that.
That's the only way they could have success.
Yeah.
Was to muck it up.
Yeah. And you know what? And then at the end, the way they stood there, and Ryan said, get your guys off the field. We're not going to do anything. I love the only show. Thing that would have been better is say, we're not like Michigan. We're not going to do this.
Yeah. I think I led the show yesterday with this. It's a pretty remarkable what 365 days can do, Dami. And yeah. You're really close with Ryan. You host a show, and you know him very well. But probably his darkest day in coaching a year ago. Yeah. After the Michigan game.
Yeah.
Do you know that they have not, I know that you know this, but they haven't lost since. In fact, the average score since that loss to Michigan is Ohio State. Last year in the playoff, it was 36-18 was the average score. This year, the average score is 37-7, and they're not even really trying. He had his darkest moment as a coach, and he came out fighting. And then the irony, of course, is his team didn't fight after they exercised the demons. They didn't fight at all. Their fighting was a 20-play, 81-yard drive that took up 12 minutes a clock.
Right.
That's how they fought.
Yeah. And it's really – and I know, you know, you're judged on what have you done for me lately. Hmm. That's the nature of this business. Coach Coop used to say it, you're only as good as your last win.
Yeah,
but I'm telling folks, and I have known this for a while, and you have known it for a while, this guy is, in my opinion, the best coach in college football. But I also told him he's an even better person. This guy is a good man. Yeah. He's a family man. And you root for people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, he loves his kids. He coaches them hard. But if I'm a college football player and I want to play at the highest level and play at the next level and have the best shot to play in the National Football League, I would come to Ohio State. And I think we are on the verge of seeing a dynasty, what he's doing here. I mean, you know, we saw what Nick Saban did at Alabama. We saw what Kirby Smart had going at Georgia. I think that Ryan Day is doing all that and more. It's amazing. He's a young coach. You look at what he's got, and it's going to be interesting to see. You know, Matt Patricia, I'm a huge fan of this guy. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Timmy Walton. Those two guys work so well together. They have NFL experience. But, you know, Matt Patricia is going to be a hot topic. You know, he's going to be a hot product here,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be interesting to see what he does. You know, he's got his kids are about ready. He's got one freshman in high school and whatever, and he seems, look at him, and he's just always smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about a guy, you don't get any bigger than what he was in the NFL when he was working for Belichick,
mm-mm.
and they're winning Super Bowls. I mean, he's got three of them. But this guy just is what a great man and family man he is, too.
Oh, it's incredibly sustainable. Yeah, it is. And it's, I did some out of market radio in Atlanta on Friday, and the host asked me, you know, if you're Ohio State, who do you fear? And I initially, of course, said nobody, but then I was trying to think, like, around the country, and I watched a ton of college football all season long, but this weekend, a ton of it, there wasn't anybody that looks to me like they're humming. Now this Indiana team is, and I think there's some brand bias that I've talked about a lot because you see that brand and you go, they can't possibly be real. I do think they're real. I like Ohio State covering the 4.5, 5.5 relatively easily, but at the same time, like, I don't know where that threat's going to come. And as long as they're healthy, I think they're going to be 5.5-point favorites against almost anybody they play at a minimum, Dom.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, my take tonight on 10 TV is, and I've said this, you know it, I'm not a fan of these conference championships. But by this, I am intrigued by this one. I wish they were playing. I want to see them play, but I wish they were playing in the playoff where, you know, it really means something. And I understand the Big Ten title means something.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, you're talking about a conference now that's got 18 teams. We're talking about something where there's a really good shot that if, you know, they're both going to, They're both locks, and they're both probably first-round buys. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah, I do.
So you're playing for seeding. Mm-hmm. So Ohio State will be number one or two, right?
They'll be the one, and then they'll be number one with the win, and I think Indiana will be the four, just so they're on other sides of the bracket.
Right. But the thing is, there's a really good shot they're going to meet again in the playoff.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, there's a really good – I mean, that's why – with the Michigan game, once Michigan ever gets back to being Michigan again, there's a good shot in this world they could play three times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just...
You got to get it fixed.
I mean, it's just... And I don't want to say it's not important. It is. But in the grand scheme of things, do you really want to risk getting your players injured in this game?
I know. I'm with you.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I look last year what Georgia had happened to their quarterback.
Yeah, lost their quarterback, yeah.
And, you know, while I want to beat these guys, and I'm a little more optimistic than you. I remember what Ohio State did to them a year ago, and I understand that they've got, you know, this highfalutin quarterback, but I don't know that he's played against the defense like Matt Patricia in Ohio State's. And I saw what they did to Michigan. Michigan came out. And, you know, that defense, think about this, Bo. All the success Michigan had was in that first quarter, in the first couple drives.
First drive, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they came out, and Matt Patricia and Timmy Walton and the defensive coaches, what they do, and it was amazing. I got to see it really up close and personal when I did sidelines, the two games, and it blew my mind. They've got those iPads, and these guys come off, and they're looking, and they're going, okay, they did this. All right, here's what we got to do. And they are making these adjustments on the fly. It's amazing to watch. You know, it used to be they would do these adjustments at halftime. Not anymore, man. These guys are doing it right there. And, you know, I saw what they did. And it just blew my mind watching how they did it in those two games. And then that's obviously what they did. You got, okay, you got that first drive. You got us. Maybe we didn't expect this. But then they shut it down. And you look at Bryce Underwood, I think he had, 64 yards total passing? Michigan had negative yards in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Negative. They had 163 yards total offense.
Yeah.
Dominated by this defense. And I think Indiana is in store for a rude awakening because, you know, I saw what Ohio State did to them a year ago, and they were pretty pumped and liked their chances and all that, and... I don't know. I think there's a little bit of like, okay, Ohio State, I think, wants to prove a point maybe, too.
Yeah. You got 30 seconds. What's the best bite of food you had over Thanksgiving holiday?
Man, we had these cinnamon rolls that we made.
Of course you did.
Holy smokes. My son and I made these.
God, little Dom.
Oh, my gosh.
He's not so little
and
anymore.
And then Kels iced them. Oh, my goodness.
Of course she did. God bless you.
They were pretty
That's
good.
Great.
That was
That's
real.
Great.
They were really good. They were cinnamon pumpkin cinnamon rolls.
Okay, you had me till the pumpkin thing. Then now at that point, I got to let you go.
They were pretty good.
I don't do pumpkin. But well, God bless you.
Well, no. It's a gourd.
It is a gourd.
It's a gourd.
I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
See you, buddy.
All right, there he goes. Dom DeBerry, Channel 10 on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We do Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Beller has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is a Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Your most recent game, Bruce Thornton, 13 rebounds, a career high. Jake, does that just add to all of the value he brings and all the different things he can do for your team?
Yeah, it does. I mean, he was a warrior against Pitt, especially in the second half, and rebounding was an issue for us that game, and he stepped up and helped us out. We need a couple more guys to take that same approach, but it's who Bruce is. He's going to do whatever it takes to put us into a position to win.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, 2-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. You can trust their team of agents to develop a strategy that's just right for you. And it's not just X's and O's. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
At Ohio State, we are the Never Afraid to Innovate teams and the Improve People's Lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
On the subject of Bruce Thornton, with all of the things he does and all the minutes he absorbs, how has the addition, Jake, of Gabe Cupps, just in a general fashion, helped you with depth at point guard and helped give Bruce a break on the ball?
It's been good. It's been good. Gabe plays the game with a high basketball IQ and a toughness, and you know, it allows us to move Bruce around a little bit to make him harder to guard. So been really happy with the progress Gabe has made. He's got to continue to improve, and you know, I think he will.
One of the big pluses is his experience that he brings?
Yeah, I think being an older guy who's got college experience is helpful because we don't have a ton of that on our bench, and so his game reps that he's had and being in a college practice for another year outside of the games he got as a freshman has been really good.
Okay, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Toyota Thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota, like the best-selling Toyota Camry. Now through December 1st, get 4.75 APR financing on remaining new 25 Camrys. Or lease a new 26 Camry LE for $269 a month for 39 months with $3699 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS, tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
'Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Rooster's Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Rooster's location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Rooster's. Rooster's, a fun casual joint.
Would you and
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them. Hey, we're not doing all the work for you. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Tuesday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Buckeye royalty Chris Carter's got a podcast. On his most recent episode, Fully Loaded, the Buckeyes Hall of Famer had some pretty high praise for the Silver Bullets.
Ohio State's the most talented team.
Okay.
And their defense is the best unit in college football.
Okay.
And they have, like, a legendary defense. Like, it will go down. I mean, they're giving up 7 points a game.
That was disgusting.
I mean, depends on how you look at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, their defense is filthy. And at every level, we were worried about, okay, how are they going to rush the quarterback? They lost two top draft picks on their defensive end. Man, Matt Patricia, man, he's the most valuable coach in coach of the year in college football. Because what he did with that unit and the way they play.
Thing or not a thing?
It's an accurate thing. It is a historic defense. It is a legendary defense. Matt Patricia is going to win the Broyles Award as the offensive coach of the year, or the assistant coach of the year in all of college football. The one thing that makes it all possible, though, is it's the perfect mix of elite talent and then incredible intelligence. Like 0-8-2 are savants, and what they are able to do allows for a lot of this. And yeah, I think it's changed the way they've coached this year because they don't have to score 40 to win. I think they know that if they score 21.5 against anybody, they're going to win the national title. And I think that's allowed for the way they've approached this entire season. So everything he said, if this was the real truth, it's all the real truth.
I think we've all thought it, but I think it's just different when it comes from someone like Chris Carter, who was so great at what he did and obviously knows really good defensive football because he's gone up against some really good defenses in his life. And when he uses the term legendary, I think that gets your attention a little bit. And I think we all felt that way. Like I've thought this is, I feel like this is the best Ohio State defense that I've seen since maybe the inception of the Silver Bullets, with Freddie Pugich leading those 90s defenses with Sean Springs and Antoine Winfield and those kind of guys. And I feel like those defenses were great, obviously, but I feel like those defenses were so good because they had the ability to shut down the passing game with their corners. And I feel like this Ohio State team's a little similar to that. These aren't Davison Igbinosin and Jermaine Matthews. They may not be the most talented. They may not be Denzel Ward. They may not be Marshawn Lattimore. But they're really good, and they have an attitude to them and a swagger and just something you need from cornerbacks. And I think that's something we've said all year. It's hard to pass on this team because of that secondary. And then you throw in 0-8 into that mix. And what we've seen from Caden McDonald and Caden Curry here recently, it might be the best Ohio State defense ever.
Yeah, and while maybe IGB and Matthews aren't to that level, Caleb Downs feels like Ed Reed to me. Or Mike Doss, if you want to keep it here locally. I mean, that's who I think he is. And then the two linebackers. I mean, Arvell Reese might be Micah Parsons. He might be.
He's better. He's better.
Sonny Styles is going to be a first-round top 15 pick. I mean, you got two linebackers that are going to go in the top 20 linebackers.
I also don't think there's ever been a better collection of coaches defensively for Ohio State. Like, you've got some serious Mensa minds coaching up the players, and then you have Matt Patricia on the field scheming things up. I mean, just I can't get enough of the energy that he brings to that sideline. That's not something you've seen, I think, in a coordinator or in a coaching assistant, maybe ever. At least not Ohio State.
Yeah.
For the second time in three games, the Giants benched first-round pick Abdul Carter. The third overall pick sat the first quarter of Monday night's 33-15 loss to the Patriots because of tardiness. New York's interim coach Mike Kafka described it as a coach's decision. He said it a couple times. Jeez. Carter set out two drives, both of which resulted in points for the Patriots. By the time he got into the game, the Giants trailed 17-0. Carter was asked after the game why he was disciplined. Quote, blank happens. I'm not going to get into details. Blank happens. Then he got into some details. I guess you can say that, but I'm not going to use it as an excuse. Like I said, I have to be better. I have to take pride in what I do, be better at where I'm at. Simple as that. End quote. Thing or not a thing.
This clown wanted to wear 56 for the Giants. He thought he should wear 56. Kindly leave. Just kind of stop. Stop it. Like, they've had issues. He hasn't done much all year. And now you got this. I mean, I saw red flags with him as soon as I want to wear 56. Go somewhere else.
Arvell's better.
Yeah, he is.
He's better than this. I remember everybody saying not only was Cleveland crazy for not drafting Travis Hunter, they were also crazy for not drafting this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he's kind of been a problem since then. And I don't know if it's a Giants issue. The Giants seem to be, their record's not good, but they seem to be maybe have an attitude with Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo. Abdul Carter doesn't seem to be on board.
That dude's got a sack and a half on the season.
I also didn't realize Mike Kafka was the head coach of the Giants right now.
Yeah, he is. He's in the mix.
The Ohio State women's basketball team beat Niagara 130 by a 100-32 margin on Sunday at the Shot. Ohio State scored 130, Niagara 32.
They won by 98?
Yes.
That's a program record in points, assists, field goals, and won by the largest margin in history, 98. The previous school record of points in a game was 119 against Idaho State back in 94. The basketball Buckeyes are 6-1 on the season and ranked 23rd in the Associated Press Top 25. Thing or not a thing?
This is a silly thing. There's no reason for these two teams to be playing. If you're 100 points better, there's absolutely no reason to ever schedule these two teams. I have no idea what happened. Like, was Niagara supposed to be more competitive? I have no idea. But this should never be scheduled. But what I will say is a thing, and I'll give McGuff a lot of credit for this, and he deserves it. They beat West Virginia last week. That's a ranked team that they beat. That I like. That's me paying attention to what's happening. They lost Cody McMahon to the portal, and that was kind of a strange one. Such a cornerstone player. But that win against West Virginia was a thing. This should never have happened. There's no reason to be playing these type of games.
98 points is extreme, but I feel like you get this a lot in women's basketball sometimes where there's just games that are blowouts. Like, that was never competitive from the start. One thing that is a thing from this game, they got a lot of bench players in. Bryn Martin, I forgot that she was at Ohio State. She was initially committed to West Virginia, I believe. Mm-hmm. She's a girl from Springboro. 2 years ago at the state tournament, she scored 38 points in a state semifinal, which was, I believe, the most ever in a D1 state semifinal before. Bryn Martin can score the ball a little bit, and she had, I think, 25 in this game, so that was pretty... I forgot that they had picked her up. Jelani Cambridge is the straw that stirs the drink, but Bryn Martin's someone that you may watch for this Ohio State women's basketball team the next couple of years.
Yeah, he's got a great program. They've been in the mix for most of his tenure and been very competitive into March. So very cool to see. Final hour of the program coming up next. Scott Docterman around college football at 11:30. We kick it off with the NFL Blitz. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here in The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The top-ranked Buckeyes are headed to Indianapolis for Saturday's Big Ten Championship. 12-0 Ohio State, 12-0 Indiana will play for the conference crown. It'll be an 8 p.m. kick from Lucas Oil Stadium. Head Coach Ryan Day will hold his weekly press conference today at noon. We'll carry those comments live on The Fan. Coach Day is also going to join a special Tuesday edition of Buckeye Roundtable tonight around 6:35. The second-to-last playoff rankings and bracket projection are out tonight at 7. The final rankings will be unveiled Sunday at noon. ESPN's reporting that Penn State has narrowed their coaching search on BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. The 50-year-old Sitake is preparing for Saturday's Big 12 title tilt. BYU has Texas Tech in Dallas. On Monday night, Michigan State made it official with Pat Fitzgerald. This update is sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend in Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck. Get them at Roosters locations or online at roosterswings.com.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here. Coming up in 15 minutes, Michigan State making a statement in a big way. We'll explain that. Scott Docterman coming up at the bottom of the hour. But first, we blitz the NFL. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present NFL Blitz.
Sponsored by Monogram Homes. Go custom. Go Monogram. Visit monogramhomes.net to start building.
I believe I had that. Bake, what did you have?
I believe I had that the 49ers would be in the mix, and they started off the year hot with three wins. Then for 8 weeks, they alternated. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. Now they've won three in a row. They're sitting there at 9-4. Obviously, that NFC West is tough. The Seahawks and the Rams are both 9-3 ahead of them. But at the beginning of the year, I don't know why I said San Francisco would win the West, and I had them in the Super Bowl. I think I might be back there to them getting in the Super Bowl.
Do you know how many team sacks they have as a team?
It has to be a whole lot or a whole little.
It's a whole little. It's like 14, 13 sack as a team. They have no pressure. None. None.
And when you lose a guy best like coach. Nick Bosa, that happens.
He is the best coach in the National Football League. I mean, I know he doesn't have a Super Bowl, and you can talk about 28-3. You can talk about how they should have won a Super Bowl here or there. But the reality is, like, they are good always, no matter who the quarterback is, no matter what's going on. They're in the mix. It's a remarkable job that he does every single year, Reese. Go ahead.
I've ping-ponged this over the whole season. I've had that, and I didn't have that. And I think I had that the Lions are, while really good, it's just another year where they're just not good enough. Like, I think this can be fun for a little bit, but Thursday night was like the biggest win for Matt LaFleur as head coach of the Packers. And I think it's kind of like they're going to go in two separate directions here. The Packers into the playoffs, the Lions just short.
My heart breaks for Lions fans. I mean, like, last year was the year.
The Frank Ragnow news is like, can you catch a break?
They can't. Yeah, I believe I had it. The New England Patriots are legitimately good. They have an MVP-level quarterback, and they have a culture tornado in Mike Vrabel. And as much as we hated them for 20 years, get used to it. Get used to it. They're not going anywhere. But, guys, they don't even really have weapons. They haven't even really started drafting. But you knew that hire, and you knew that Mike believed in Drake May by the fact that he took that job. And that's all you needed to know. I did not have that. What did you not have, Bake?
A couple weeks ago when that's probably been about a month ago now, when the Miami Dolphins got drilled by the Cleveland Browns, I thought they were a fish out of water, and I thought Mike McDaniel was on his way out the door. But lo and behold, since then, they've won 4 of 5, and they've been a little chesty, and they've shown some signs of life, and I had thrown them out with the trash.
Yeah,
shame on me.
He's done a nice job.
I didn't have the Bengals defense kind of bowing up the way they did last Thursday night. Like, I know, you know, we've said it a lot on this show that Joe Burrow is the tide that rises all boats. Mm-hmm. But boy, did he. I mean, I don't know if that's the effect he had or if there's something seriously wrong with Baltimore's offense. Probably a little bit of both, but that Bengals team can make some noise in the latter part of the season.
I did not have this bounce back for the Dallas Cowboys. Was rooting for him. I like Jerry Jones a lot, but I thought they went to Denver and got bombed, and then they lost at home to Arizona 27-17. I just went, okay, lost season. Since then, they've won 3 in a row against the Raiders. Okay, nothing to be proud of there, but they beat the Eagles at home, they beat the Chiefs at home, and now they're at the Lions on Thursday night with a chance to win their 4th straight and be absolutely in the mix in the NFC. And with those two receivers, nobody's going to want to play them. Nobody. And I did not have that. Player who impressed, Reese. I'm sorry, Big.
It's the Bengals defense. I give it to them as a whole. 5 turnovers against the Ravens, holding the Ravens to 14 points, and there may be issues going on in Baltimore, but they still have Lamar. They still have Derrick Henry. They still have Zay Flowers. They have some talented tight ends. That's impressive to see the Bengals do that. In a night that was Joe Burrow's return, I feel like the defense kind of stole the show.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, he's a dude, bro. And they've got a quarterback and they've got a head coach that you can, I think, have a lot of faith in the postseason.
Bryce Young went 15 of 20 for 206, 3 touchdowns, no picks, no turnovers, a quarterback rating of 147.1 against the team that I thought was the best in the NFL.
Joe Montana.
He's Joe Montana, kids. Just buckle up. That's just who he is. God. Awful. Player who disappointed, Bake.
Abdul Carter. Dude, it's not hard. Be a pro.
Yeah.
Be a professional. You're getting paid a lot of money to play a kid's game, as we've heard a lot of people say here recently.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't act like a kid, dude. Do what you got to. Take care of your business.
Well, I'll stick with the G-men. Jackson Dart, get out of bounds.
He's not going to make it.
No.
He can't play that way.
What are you getting ping-ponged around the field for? No reason.
He got depleted. Starting quarterbacks in the NFL cannot get depleted.
I love.
They do everything to protect you. You can't do that.
I love the moxie, and sure. I love the effort and the toughness, but that's not sustainable.
No, not at all. My MVP, Matthew Stafford. Dude, you're 10.5-point favorites. I got a cool G on the line with NBC. Handle your business. He had an interception inside the 10, another one in their own territory, and a fumble. He hadn't done any of that stuff, and then he chooses that game to do it? Matthew, I'm out here saying win the MVP. I'm saying put a gold jacket on you. All I need you to do, you don't have to cover. Just go handle business, for God's sakes. Three turnovers? Come on, man. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week, Bake. Who you got?
Hold on real quick. How was that at your house when that was
going
on?
I'm not in the mood. Okay? I'm not in the mood. He is so chesty. It's out of control. It's awful.
I thought about going Mike McDaniel here just because of what we talked about earlier with the Dolphins, but a kind of similar situation. I'm going to go D'Amico Ryans. Mm-hmm. They picked up some momentum when C.J. Stroud was out. That defense is playing lights out right now. I think we all kind of thought maybe the Colts would have a comeback to earth, but still, it's very impressive what the Houston Texans are doing at this moment in time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Mike Vrabel's mustache. Rest in peace. They were saying like several times on the broadcast that he hates it, and now he's going to shave it right after the game. So it was a good month. Mike Vrabel's mustache.
I think it fits him perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it fits him perfectly.
I noticed all of the Jackets players were clean shaven last night. They all got rid of theirs too right away.
They had enough, yeah. I'm going to go Liam Cohen here. He really has no weapons on offense. Their backs are still there, obviously. Lawrence is up and down play. But all of a sudden, you look up in the AFC South, and they're atop it. And they keep winning. They've won three in a row. They keep handling their business. They're now atop the AFC South. And with a ton of injuries to marquee players, that's a good job out of him.
Can we all give an honorable mention, by the way, to shirtless Ben Johnson?
We can. Yeah. Yeah, he deserves
it. Hulking up in the locker room.
He does. Yeah. Top three. Who do you got, Bake?
I've got New England. I've got Denver. And I've got Seattle. And I'm shocked those are the three at this point in the season.
No one would have had that, man.
I'm still not sold on Denver. I mean, they keep winning. I understand that. But they're four right now. I got Patriots, Rams, Seahawks.
I went, the Patriots have won 10 in a row. The Broncos have won 9 in a row. So I have to have them in my top three. They just keep winning. And I think the Patriots are legit good. I think we've seen it. I think this is what's made the NFL pick so difficult for me this year, too. Like, we're seeing a changing of the guard that's happened. Like, Kansas City, Buffalo, these teams that were these things you could count on, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, that you can't count on them anymore. Like, it all happened at the same time. It's pretty weird. I got Patriots, Denver, and Ramit, despite a brutal loss, but I could have gone Seattle there, too. Those two, to me, seem better than everybody else. I just trust Stafford a little bit more. Super Bowl right now, who do you got?
I've got the franchises of two of the best quarterbacks ever, New England and San Francisco.
Niners getting back in the mix.
I got Rams, Pats.
I'm just going to stay. I like the idea of 40 years, so I don't think that the Bears are one of the top three teams, but for this week, I'm going to go Patriots-Bears just so I can talk about the Super Bowl shuffle and just so I can talk about the fact that that was 40 years ago that those two teams played for a Super Bowl and the idea that right now they're the 2-1 seeds. Remarkable. And both coaches have done incredible jobs, Vrabes and Johnson. It's incredible what they've done.
Both of our first football Super Bowl memories, right? That
yes.
Super Bowl.
That was it. Like it was yesterday. All right. Welcome to Sparta. Michigan State throwing down a gauntlet on college football. We'll explain that and try to make sense of what exactly is going on at Penn State. It's all coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921.
They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ryan Day's Buckeyes head to Indy for a Big Ten title matchup against the Indiana Hoosiers.
Live fan coverage starts Saturday at 2:30 with the Kick at 8.
Turn down the TV and turn us up, the home of the Buckeyes, the fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Skies are mostly cloudy for us as we go in the rest of the day today, but it will be chilly with temperatures only getting up into the low 30s. And then for tonight, a cold night ahead with mostly cloudy skies and lows down into the 20s. For Wednesday, a mix of sun and clouds and daytime highs, well, they're going to struggle to get out of the mid to low 30s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Indeed you are, and get ready to play, win, and celebrate big. It's El Dorado Scioto Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. With Caesars Rewards, you're going to rewards every time you stay, play, dine, or shop. And not just here, but at over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the United States. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. At Scioto Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. More than 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Micro Brewery or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the out-of-bounds 68-layer lasagna, and the energy just keeps building, guys. Scioto Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing, and it's coming right here to town. So come experience the action, the rewards, and the unforgettable moments that are waiting for you at El Dorado Scioto Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966. Visit caesars.com/Scioto Downs for details. This is noteworthy. This is very noteworthy. Michigan State Athletics for Sparta. The Capital Initiative for MSU Athletics, a $1 billion initiative designed to elevate facilities, enhance the student-athlete experience, and secure Michigan State's position as a leader in college athletics. I have to imagine that this is part of the Pat Fitzgerald hire. That he was aware of this, not that he could be choosy, but I think that's what makes this a little bit more of a fit. Remember, they have Ishbia and Gilbert. If they want to be the Texas A&M of the North, they can. That is a lot of money to throw around from those two. A lot of money to throw around.
Kind of goes to the trend with what you saw Florida and Ole Miss and LSU when they were all trying to land or keep Lane Kiffin, how there was the money out for the contract and then the money that they were going to set aside for future roster additions. I think in other contracts or even with Wisconsin. You know, they had said, well, we're keeping Luke Fickell, but we're also going to put a capital investment towards upgrading facilities.
Yeah.
So all of this kind of, you know, is a trend. I mean, because college football's pretty copycat where everybody's looking to say, all right, yes, well, we're going to have a new coach, but we are also going to explicitly tell you that money will be put towards the roster. Money will be put towards the facilities in a manner that hasn't been done before.
Dude, they could put money to roster that could match anybody.
Yeah.
If Ishby and Gilbert want Michigan State football, and they've proven in the past that they have, if those two, and they don't like each other, it's
that's
crazy.
The thing.
Like,
you got to pit them against each other, and then you're
who can give the most
exponentially more money raised.
Like the only thing they haven't caught, well, they have the fact that they both are billionaires, the fact that they're both mortgage guys, the fact that they both love the athletics at Michigan State, and they both will give to it. Like if they want to be great at football and men's basketball, like that, they can be. They could have a $100 million roster next season if they want. Those resources. And, the ability to have a billion for the facilities. I mean, just think if we had to try to do that. Like, if you had to come up with $1 billion to retrofit Ohio Stadium and get it up to speed of where it needs to be, it's not as easy as it used to be to raise $1 billion. They're $250 million already raised, guys.
I think, too, and he's obviously not in that area as those two guys, but Magic Johnson is around there.
Great point.
Well.
He's another billionaire.
And I wonder if this is something that led Pat Fitzgerald to Michigan State. If this is a reason he wanted to go there, because it sure sounded like there were a lot of teams that were kind of interested in him and maybe kicking the tires on him. Now, who knows if that's true or not, but I'm guessing he had more than just Michigan State call him about a head coaching job. And I'm guessing all of that is something that was very attractive to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got that money to work with. Absolutely, I'll do it. Couple other things on the coaching carousel. It looks like Will Stein, the offensive coordinator at Oregon, is going to be the head coach at Kentucky. He's a young dude. I want to say he's like 36. I think Kentucky's a really tough job. I think it's a very difficult job. And it's going to be one of those places where you're going to have to decide where the money's going to go. And the money there is always going to go to hoops. So that's going to be the priority. And then football is going to come in a distant second there for them. So I don't really think, I think that honestly what Stoops had going there for the longest time, to me, that's the ceiling. And I know people down there would say that they expect, to me, that's the ceiling. Make bowls, be above 500. That's the ceiling at Kentucky.
I think it's a little better here, but is Kentucky football Ohio State basketball?
Yeah, you could argue that they're... You know, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. And if you've been down there, you can kind of get the feeling of it, of how the two are opposite of each other. The other, and I got a text last night from a buddy of mine, Penn State guy.
What are they doing?
So he goes, you could have a coach by tomorrow. And I'm like, really? Because I haven't heard anything. I said, what's going on over there? And all he texted me back was BYU. So that's Kalani Sitake. He's the coach at BYU. He's been there since 2016. And now I wake up this morning, I see the report out of ESPN that he's the front runner for it. He's been wildly successful there. I mean, he took the job in 16. He goes 9-4, 4-9, 7-6, 7-6, 11-1, 10-3, 8-5, 5-7, 11-2, 11-1. They'll play for a Big 12 championship on Saturday. He is a BYU alumnus. He played there. I was just looking at this. He has, from what I can tell, no experience east of the Mississippi. Not even close. I don't even know if he's got any experience in the central time zone. It's all mountain or Pacific time zone his entire life. So it's a bold hire. I don't know him well, but what I've seen of him, and it's basically just when game day's there, Big Noon is there, and you're able to kind of get a feel for kind of what he's done. He's impressive. He's a formidable dude. Big dude. Formidable, man's man, all of that stuff. But it's a massive gamble for someone who has no ties. Now, you could say, well, Nick Saban had no ties in the South and Urban had no ties in the South, and you're really hiring the man. And I think that's I think that all of that makes sense, and I'm for all of it. But I didn't see this one coming. And it feels like they've been centered on him for a long time, because the Chesney guy, who was the other guy who had Pennsylvania ties, he's going to UCLA.
Yeah.
So it seems like this is their guy.
And if he decides to stay at BYU, then do they just bring Terry Smith and take the interim tag off of him? Because Penn State's bowling. I think I saw CBS project Penn State to play OU in the I can't remember the name of it bowl. But the Crumble Cookie founder, Jason McGowan, is a BYU alum. And he had this tweet last night. Some people are not replaceable. Sounds like it's time for me to get off the sidelines and get to work. And he started to raise awareness and kind of some scuttlebutt online about they've got to keep Sitake. They've got to do everything they can to keep him in Provo. And if they can, I guess, match it, right? Like,
you don't know what his why is. Yeah. We have no idea. I mean, that's kind of like the Kiffin thing. Like, Kiffin's why was obviously his why, I think, was multiple. But I think all the reporting out of that job was that Ole Miss offered him the same, that it was in the same as what LSU did. So I don't think it was about money for Kiffin. I think what it was about for Kiffin was
can I go win a national championship at Ole Miss, or can I win one at LSU? The other thing you have to remember with the Ole Miss-LSU conversation is Oxford, Mississippi is a town of less than 30,000. Okay, it is a small town. Baton Rouge is now upwards of a million in the metro. So lifestyle-wise, it's a much different lifestyle in terms of how you want to spend the next decade or so of your life. So I think that's part of it. And I think that's the thing with Satake you have to kind of wrap your head around, like, what's his why? I'll be honest with you. I had forgotten his name. I knew his face, but I couldn't have told you his name if you'd asked me before last night. So who knows what his why is? I will say this. I think recruiting Penn State is similar. Obviously, there's no religious aspect, but a similar job of recruiting BYU. It takes a very specific player to want to go to Happy Valley. It takes a very specific player to want to play at BYU. So I think that part probably lines up. But give each 30 seconds. What's kind of your view if it is Satake at Penn State?
The same, I think, as if they hired Terry Smith. I don't see it working with it because it's kind of like.
You got to be careful.
It's. Yeah, no.
He's obviously a really good football coach, but I feel like this would be a disappointment to the fan base. I feel like, especially with you, you had been saying. They've got their guy. They feel like they've got their guy. I don't think this was their guy. So they didn't have their guy.
I think it was. I think it was him and Chesney all along. They were not in on the Kiffin stuff. They weren't in on other things.
How'd they get scooped by UCLA then?
Well, I think they like this guy more. I think this was their guy.
He's a great coach, and I think he'll win wherever he goes. But to build Penn State to where they think that they should be, that would be tough, because if he does come from BYU, then he's bringing his guys with him. And are all of them just having coached in that time zone, in that area, in that part of the country? Then you're recruiting the East Coast.
Yeah. It's fish out of water, Reese. For sure. For sure it is. We'll get some perspective on all of this. Our buddy Scott Docterman of The Athletic going to join us in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time to head out on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Conversation with our good buddy Scott Docterman, covers college football on the national scene at The Athletic. Scott, thank you so much for taking the time. I guess we finally had it. We had a situation where the calendar really threw a monkey wrench in championship weekend and rivalry weekend with the Kiffin stuff and then all the coaching hires that happened after it. You talked to some of the most powerful people in the sport. Is there substantial conversation on getting this calendar sorted out finally?
It has to happen. And yes, there's been some discussion of it, but I think that this needs to be the impetus for it, because when college football kind of shifted away from the bowl structure, and really the Final Four was one thing, but now that it's a 12-team playoff and it's expected to grow at some point in the future, you've got to make this the centerpiece event, kind of like March Madness is. And could you imagine March Madness on the eve of the Selection Sunday, that all of a sudden the Ohio State coach decides, I'm going to go to Indiana or Oklahoma State. I'm going to go to Kansas next year because they fired their coach. It's just an abomination of the sport to have this happen. And Lane Kiffin is certainly at fault for this, as always. But also the sport itself needs to police itself from itself, and because you just can't have a team that's ready to go to the playoff. And we're not talking about, you know, whether or not Ole Miss is going to the Peach Bowl or the Citrus Bowl. I mean, we're talking about the playoff, and this has to absolutely stop. And how do you do it? It's probably some sort of major changes with the calendar, and the sport's going to have to do that. And you can't just blame the players in NIL. I mean, they've been the scapegoat, and that's BS to me. I mean, I think you're they're missing the point. This has to be on themselves, because otherwise it's just going to continue and we're going to see something even worse happen in the future. Maybe next year it happens somewhere.
Yeah, be a player. I mean, a player could hold a player, coaches, yeah. Everyone could hold everybody hostage. Scott, about 4 years ago, when I was doing the show with Laurinaitis, one of the things he kind of, we spent a lot of time on this, put together a schedule where you just make week zero is now week one. You play rivalry weekend before Thanksgiving. You play Army-Navy this weekend. Forget the conference championship games. 1 through 16 playoffs starting this weekend. You have a bye worked in there so that you can have the semifinals around New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. And then you play the national championship game the first Saturday after that, and you're done. And then you open up the portal. Then you go back to February with National Signing Day. And the only negative, and it would come from coaches, is you'd get rid of the early entry enrollees. But my hunch is, Scott, at this point that they would sign up for that, would they not?
They'd have to. And I think in some ways there are ways to really work around this if you want to. And that is, you know, I think, you know, obviously we've thrown academics completely out there, but they're real. And in places like Ohio State and Northwestern, when you have a quarter system, you have semesters, and you want to try to mesh everything through, I think maybe the fairest thing is to allow people to enter the portal and lessen the impact of spring football. And then they could stay at their own campuses and continue to go to school, but then make sure that there is no that they still get workouts, conditioning programs, what have you, through their old system, and then make March and April more OTA based as opposed to spring practice based. Because and then you look at, you know, a place like Ohio State won the championship last year. This year is going to be heavily, deeply into the playoff. It's impossibly winning again. I mean, those players are going to have very little time. I remember talking to them at the combine last year to train for the combine, but also a lot of them have surgeries and they're holding on and, you know, by a thread now, that this allows them to get healthy. And then you have your real spring football in June when you can allow everybody to join and then allow the other ones to participate in OTAs, you know, and travel there. I think there's just, they need to reimagine the schedule, the calendar, but getting all the way back to this. I mean, for Lane Kiffin to leave his team after telling them, you know, coaching them all the way through the season to reach this pinnacle, and then tell your coaches you're with me or you're not, you know, or against me on the eve of a playoff, I think it just makes a mockery out of this sport.
It does, and I will say I'm jealous of it, because as someone who does content in the North, I would love if this happened to a team up here. I mean, like, we're wheeling out his wardrobe into the street. We're having these clandestine meetings. Like, can you imagine if Cignetti on the eve of the Big Ten championships game, look, I'm a Pennsylvania guy. I'm sorry, boys. I know we're undefeated. I'm going to Penn State. Like, I mean, that it's just so much intrigue to it. And you're right. It's an ugly underbelly of it. You're tight I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mind in terms of tight, but you certainly are familiar with Tony Petitti and his workings. And Ryan Day was part of the Big Ten championship teleconference. And he mentioned, like, you know, I know that some people want to talk about play-in games for the playoff. What do you think Petitti's ultimate goal is for how this thing looks in 3 to 5? And I've thought for the longest time, Scott, that him and Sankey were pretty aligned, but I don't get that feeling anymore.
Yeah, they aren't right now, because the SEC is eyeing the opportunity to have 7 teams in a 16 field and in a 16 team field, and I can understand that. And but I think that, you know, what Tony is looking at, and smartly so, is that there are teams with unequal schedules and their records do not reflect how good they are. And among those, I mean, let's just take Michigan and Iowa, for instance. I mean, Iowa lost 4 games by a combined total of 15 points. Nobody, you know, really played Indiana as well as Iowa did. I mean, if their quarterback doesn't get hurt, they maybe win that game. They lose by 5 at USC. Their last second field goal against Oregon, and then Michigan's schedule wasn't quite as strong. And so when you get down to the end of it, then who actually is better between those two teams? But then also, you know, there are going to be teams, you know, Indiana last year, up until they played Ohio State, they really hadn't played anybody that was in that kind of, you know, stratosphere. And so I think what he wants is to have six teams be able to play their way in. Also, I mean, money is always a factor when you're talking the Big Ten. Getting three games on one Saturday in three different windows to for their three big network partners, that's going to provide a lot of intrigue, you know, this weekend. I mean, you know, just to see who gets in, who doesn't. And the coaches are all in because they understand also the ramifications of this, which is, you know, I'm playing – well, you know, the year you draw Ohio State and Oregon and maybe Michigan or USC, and then you get a couple road games at some good teams, you're not going to have that opportunity to be in the playoff unless you have a chance to play in a play-in game. So I think that's his ultimate goal, and that's why he wants four teams guaranteed, because yeah, you can't otherwise get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly what they're going for. And the other problem here is the Big Ten got so big. I mean, we sat here in November. Now, you can't help that Penn State was down. Mm-hmm. But, Scott, we sat here in November, and it was Purdue and UCLA and Rutgers, and your 30-point favorites in all of them. Now, some of that's Ohio State's really good, and some of that, those teams are really bad. And they hand, I mean, it's, so that's the other thing that's really difficult is not all these conferences are created equal. Some of them panicked and got too big too soon. Some of them make no geographic sense at all. My God, like SMU is playing at 10 o'clock on Saturday night at Cal. I mean, it just makes no sense. And there's no way to put the genie back in the bottle. And I think the thing that we have to be careful about here, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. One of the things that makes this sport so special is that every game kind of matters. It used to really matter. And I don't think that we want to get to a point where we're arguing about 3 and 4 lost teams, but it feels like that's where we're headed.
Yeah, that's true. And that's one of the things that I think is they have to be cognizant of going forward. But as the playoff has expanded, and it certainly benefited Ohio State last year, it benefited Notre Dame last year, that they were the best teams ultimately in the country. And but, you know, the schedule that Ohio State had last year was incredible to play the teams they did and to be 10-2 and lose to the rival. I mean, that in most years that would have knocked them completely out and you would have had a completely different vibe in your part of the world. And I understand the expansion of the playoff and everything, but I'd also, you know, one of the things that's made the Big Ten special for 100+ years is that it was in the same geographical footprint. Everybody had shared common goals and ideals. I mean, certainly Ohio State and Michigan, everybody recognized it was the most important game year in and year out. But there was a commonality, and that commonality has now been shredded, and not just because of the West Coast, but when you add Rutgers and Maryland, that changed the footprint, and I think they got to be careful of that, as we've seen with private equity discussion, that now you're starting to value more brands over ideals and teams and programs, and then how much, you know, in the future in 10 years does 4 or 6 of them decide, you know what, we can make more money if we shed the rest and go off on our own. And you want to avoid that at all costs. But I do think that, that is something that with an 18-team league, you're only going to play half those teams on a given year.
Absolutely. I'll get you out of here on this one, buddy. You've seen Indiana up close. What is your read for Saturday?
I think it's going to be an outstanding game. I mean, you look at Indiana's, offense, and I think schematically, I mean, when you just take the schematics of it, I don't know that there's anybody better. I mean, you know, to be able to put together the spacing of the field with the Surratt and with Omar Cooper and the way Fernando and Mendoza really is able to define those spots, that is as articulate of a scheme as you're going to find. And then the other part is they run the ball so effectively, and it's not, it's a slam ball style. I mean, they're physical too. So they're going to, you know, but they're beating their greatest test. I mean, Ohio State's defense is the best in the country. So that matchup is rich. And then, but, you know, I do wonder how Indiana is going to cover Ohio State. The tandem for sure of Smith and Tate and the way Julian Sain's playing this year, they haven't even Oregon didn't provide that kind of a test. So, I mean, I probably like the Buckeyes by 3, but I think this is a much better game game than last year. And frankly, with all the talk about Kiffin, it's really undercut the value of this one versus two matchup, mm-hmm. which we've only seen four times total now, counting this, in Big Ten history. One of them was a one versus two slash three game in 1960. And that this should get a lot more attention than it has. And hopefully by the end of the week that I think everybody realizes just how important, impactful, and special this is to see these two teams play, because I think they're the best two teams in the country, and I don't know that this will be the first time or the only time that they play this year.
Certainly feels that way. I know we certainly feel like that around here. Appreciate your time as always, buddy. Happy holiday season to you and the fam. And thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to seeing you this weekend.
There it goes. Scott Docterman, college football on the national and Big Ten scene at The Athletic, joining us on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Get you three things on a Tuesday up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service, because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
The Daily Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by your Central Ohio Toyota dealers and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Ryan Day, brought to you by Safe Flat Auto Glass. When you look back at this past weekend's game, I know one of the things that had to stand out to you is how your team handled the early adversity.
Yeah, it wasn't the start we were looking for sure. And, you know, we wanted a fast start in that game. We felt like, you know, that team in particular wasn't a team that, you know, did a great job when they were coming from behind. So we wanted to jump on them early. So, you know, that was not in the plans, obviously. But what I thought was impressive was that, again, nobody panicked. You know, defense got to stop, held them to three. We get the turnover. They come sprinting back on the field, held them to three. We knew there were going to be storms in this game. We knew that was going to happen. And then we respond by going down and scoring. And then from then on, I just think felt like we handled the entire game. And, I think everybody involved had a confidence going into the game, and nobody wavered, even though it didn't start the way we wanted to.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
Ryan, we've talked all year about the impact that your wide receivers group had. Certainly in this game, they had as big an impact as any.
Well, first off, just being on the field, they make an impact. You know, the minute Carnell and Jeremiah get on the field, they make everybody on that field better. So you got to hand it to our medical staff and everybody that worked with both of them. But most importantly, you got to hand it to them. You know, they worked hard to get on that field. And they were going to play in this game. They were determined. They had a look in their eye, and it was just impressive to see when they made up their mind, like they willed it to happen. And look at the impact they had on the game. Not only, you know, early in the game, but even late in the game when, you know, it was snowing sideways, we were running the football. You know, the other team knows when they're out there, and they draw attention. And so they certainly made their impact felt. And, you know, although they did have big plays, I felt like, you know, we probably could have done more with them, but they just wanted to win. They wanted a pair of gold pants. And I know all the fans out there can appreciate, you know, what they did to help get this win.
It is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey, Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do we have on the poll today?
The Daily Fan poll asks, will you watch when Charles Barkley and Dick Vitale call a college basketball game together on television? 64% say yes.
What are they doing? Which game?
So they're going to be calling Indiana at Kentucky Saturday, December 13th. So next Saturday night at 7:30, ESPN's got Charles and Dickie V on the call. And then they'll be doing a first four matchup in March. I think that's provided by Turner, probably on True TV.
Who's play-by-play?
That's a good question.
That's what I was going to say. It can't just be those two. We got to have someone traffic copping.
Yeah, I mean, you want a minimal traffic cop, but you need to have a traffic cop on it, for sure. I'll tell you what's really cool, that Kentucky and Indiana are playing again. And hopefully they play all the time. I remember as a kid, they would play at the Hoosier Dome, and that sucker would be sold out for that game. Like, that game was massive. And they didn't play for a long time, but, man, I like when those two operations play.
That's one of those things that's very interesting, because I like beer and I like Mountain Dew, but I'm not going to mix them together. So I don't know how that's going to be.
No, you got to have the play-by-play guy's the key to it. That's the whole key.
I don't see anything about a play-by-play.
You can't. I mean, there's no way.
The duo.
Okay. There's got to be somebody doing it. It's got to be a Dan Shulman or somebody. You got to have a pro in there who's handling the play-by-play. There's no other way that works.
I mean, that's just going to be like a basketball game of Man and Timmy going at it, isn't it? I mean, it'd be pure chaos.
Utter chaos. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what they're going for. I mean, so often now, websites...
Who's even going to... Go ahead, Reese.
Well, they have buddies talking on the stream, and you can watch with the buddies while they're watching. Like, Barstool does it. A couple other places will have that, so... Kind of going to be like that, where you're watching the action, you can kind of see what's going on, and Dickie V and Chuck will give you their thoughts.
Dickie V is so trained, though, as a color guy. I don't know who's going to set scene for you, but I guess they'll figure that out. Let's do three things on a Tuesday. Hit it, guys.
Three things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars Rewards spot.
All right, number one for me, so a holiday for the boys today is there was no school for them. So coming out of like a five-day weekend, now they have kind of this truncated week to deal with, and they think they're getting celebratory things, and we're playing in the snow, and we're doing all of these things. They're going to learn how to shovel. This is what's going to happen. We got a little construction project happening in the basement here over the next few weeks, and they're going to go ahead and shovel that. And there's a shovel for each of them, and I look forward to telling them this. I look forward to their faces trying to make sense of the fact that they're going to have to shovel all of the outdoor walkways so that someone can get to the walk-in basement to deliver all the lumber and to handle all of those things. So I'm very much looking forward to that as soon as I'm done here.
It's a highlight of the day, almost.
It's so exciting. I can't wait.
I just want to give, I don't know if this should be a quick thanks, but a thanks to Brian Smith, now or soon to be former head coach of the Ohio Bobcats. You heard the news yesterday that he's on an indefinite leave. I would expect Brian Smith to land wherever Nick Rolovich lands. They were teammates at Hawaii. Rolovich is probably going to get a job somewhere in the group of five or the power four. I don't think he's going to be interim at Cal, but if he lands somewhere, I could see Brian Smith going with him. But just for the year of service, thank you for representing Ohio University with class.
What do you make of that? What's going on with that story?
So the Bobcats have a new athletic director. And remember, Brian Smith wasn't operating under a typical head coaching contract until he signed kind of a generic one in October of this year.
Oh.
So the Bobcats will be looking for their third head coach in as many years.
So he doesn't want it?
I don't necessarily know if it's him not wanting it or it's a situation where new athletic director. There was talk about working on a long-term agreement. I just don't know if the timing worked out where, as Brian Smith's looking at other options, the athletic director is so ready to say, okay, we'll stick here. Per se.
I know we talked a little bit about it earlier, but this being the first real snow of the winter, I was pretty impressed with Columbus this morning. The roads weren't too terrible. Everybody seemed to be, at least where I was, driving pretty safely. Nothing crazy. And we did a pretty good job, guys, with all of our windows. Still got to remember to brush the top of the car off and get that back window, too. Just don't wait for the rear defroster to knock it all off. It'll only take you 30 more seconds.
Number two for me, I'll dovetail off of the snow day. The only entity in our house that's happier than the boys is Buddy Garrity. The three-year-old golden retriever is loping through drifts, tackling them in the snow, having the time of his life. My wife has sent me pics all morning. I'm like, he's having the time of his life. Best time ever for Buddy Garrity.
So, Bo, just a refresher for those who haven't followed your saga with NBC and the Carolina Panthers. If they make the postseason, you owe him $1,000.
Yeah.
$1,000 is about 100,000 pennies. Mm-hmm. Have you considered that as the payment option?
Pay him in nickels or pennies or dimes?
I thought the pennies went away. I thought they're no more.
They're still around. Oh,
I'm sure you could scrounge up 100,000 pennies somewhere.
Go break into a Coinstar machine.
Yeah.
Second thing for me, the next couple of days, if you need me to do something or want me to do something, don't ask. Because if I'm not here, I'm going to be somewhere buried in high school football stats and charts and talking to coaches. So just the next 2 days, just don't even try. I'm not doing it.
Hear that, ladies?
Don't do it.
The relentless pursuit can stop for this week. We got to get out of here because Ryan Day's press conference is coming up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.